Ladies and gentlemen, this is Soap Boxing Podcast, your main event of the evening.
What's going on, guys? Coach Derek here. I wanted to invite y'all to check out In the Ring with Christine, a podcast hosted by Cut Woman, media personality, and Olympic boxing coach Christine Lopez. In the Ring with Christine can be found on YouTube, Facebook, and Podotron Network. It includes Women Crushing It Wednesdays, an all-women's panel discussing the previous week in boxing. Please like, subscribe, follow, and share In the Ring with Christine. What's up, guys? Coach here. I want to encourage you to visit itrboxing.com for all the latest in boxing news, results, and interviews. My partner, Lukey, is a boxing insider who has access to camps, fighters, and coaches. He promotes the sport on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Search ITR Boxing everywhere and get inside the ropes with my main man, Lukey. Coach Derek here. I wanted to invite you guys to follow our new sponsor, Fighters Rep. It's a California-based premier kickboxing promotion that features some of the best pure strikers on the planet. Fighters Rep utilizes the IKF's unified kickboxing rules, prohibiting two-handed clinches, ensuring that participants stand and fight. Please follow Fighters Rep on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. And be sure to check out FightersRep.com to keep up with their scheduled events, merch, and viewing options.
Hello guys, this is Coach Derek.
And it's your boy Manny, you want to remind me.
Yeah, sure. Here's some people.
Some fighters say, "Well, I don't watch videos of the guy I'm fighting. I let the coach watch it." This,
wait, man.
Guys, one thing we know for sure about Wilder, you know, yeah, he hit you free.
Right, and.
This woman whooped the whole world twice. The whole world.
What's up? What's up, fellas? Hey, I got a very good friend of mine, Aaron Navarro, and I got a brand new friend of mine. What's up, Big Foreman? I thought we fighting here pretty soon. Huh? You got anything yet?
Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, we need to talk about that too. But this morning, man, I went, Aaron, my buddy out of L.A., he sent me a link last night after the fight. He was like, "Coach, do a recap with me." I said, "All right, man." We was on a damn computer for about an hour, man. I was, I had all kind of opinions, as you know. I'm opinionated. But so Evans this morning said, "Man, let's talk about this fight." I said, "All right, I'm going to set it up." And that's why I called you guys, see if y'all wanted to come on there. And he ain't showed up yet. So he'll pop in here sooner or later, man. What y'all thought about last night, man?
You know these big timers, they're gonna work on their schedule, not nobody else's.
They gotta make a scene when they show up.
Yeah, that's it, man. He's probably waiting for the helicopter to pick him up or something.
That is, man. I tell you what, before we get into it, let's talk about what your prediction was. My prediction was, with all Wilder's excuses and shit, that that there's no way this kid got enough character to get in there and cause any trouble. So I had Fury in three. I was completely wrong, as he showed me last night, as far as willingness to fight. So I had Wilder in three. What was y'all predictions or what y'all thought was most likely to happen before the fight?
You want to go first? You want me to
just- either one, whoever. Oh,
man, look, all the thing I knew in my mind, I knew for a fact, I said Fury's winning. And I had Fury in nine just because I knew I gave Wilder credit just for being off for the year, not fighting and actually training, you know, even though as cute little mitt work drills they was doing and all that, but I can tell they were at least trying to teach him something. So I gave him credit for that. And I knew Fury, now if we're learning new something, you got to learn new conditioning as well when you learn new something. And I knew they weren't going to do that. So I said Fury was going to wait him out. So I gave, that's why I gave Fury a nine. Now, granted, it almost did. He almost got him in nine. Yeah. But it went just exactly where I thought it would. I thought Fury would still do the same thing. Get in there, your conditioning trash, your legs are weak. I'm going to lean on you. You're going to be do this all over again.
Oh, he started so late. And he still dropped him in three, right? So I said, boy, I still might save my bet. But no, that boy got up and fought hard. What you had, Aaron? What you thought was going to happen, brother?
What I thought was this. I wasn't sure exactly what the – how. I had Fury winning 100%, you know, just because I thought – and I still think this – that Fury is the better guy in every category, including his team that he had around him, other than punching power. Listen, one thing we know, look, there's no disputing it. Deontay is an A-plus puncher. He's one of the biggest punchers probably out of any area of boxing. I'll give him that. He's an explosive puncher, 100%. Like, it doesn't matter who likes him, who doesn't like him. Listen, those facts are proven by the record that he has and the way that he's done things. There's no disputing that. But I thought it, with the exception of the punching power, that Fury is just a better all-around fighter in every other way. His ring IQ, everything is just a higher thing. And like Foreman said, I thought I'm not an excuse guy. I don't want my guys make him. I don't make. But if you're gonna use an excuse, you use one. This guy had like 10 of them after, and to me that just meant that mentally he still had never owned the fact that he lost. And I thought that was going to be an issue somehow or another in the fight. You know, you and all of us here know, you know, boxing, the mental part of it's much more than the physical. So I just thought that the fact that he never really could just say, hey, man, listen, he got me. And, you know, hey, I'm going to, hey, let's run it back. And I got him on the next one. I had a problem with that. But I just think, you know, and Fury showed it. But just as a fighter, I've always considered Deontay, man, you know, I'm sure people get mad, but I've always considered him like a C fighter with A-plus power. If you look at a lot of the stuff that he's always done technique-wise and things like that, yeah, but he is, listen, he's very athletic, and he's got legitimate one-punch power. And look, he said it before, and I remember he said it at the press conference when he rematched Ortiz, when I had Miguel there, and we were doing, you know, because it was the press conference was us and Santa Cruz and him and Ortiz, and we were out at the Staples Center, and he gave credit. He said, Ortiz is a great fighter. He said, but he's got to fight a perfect fight, and I got to be right one time. And he was exactly – and that played out exactly like that in that fight.
He was right. Man. Yeah, and he was exactly how it went.
I did think if Fury was able to stop him, that it would be in the second half, just because, you know, Fury's not a big one-punch guy, like explosive guy like Wilder. So I figured if he did get him, it would be later in the fight after he broke him down. He started coming apart a little bit. And I knew Wilder would probably come out pretty sharp and strong because, you know, he definitely had something to prove. And he showed everybody. And listen, he's a physically strong, very athletic guy, which kind of allowed him to take a worse beating, you know. But I thought 100% Fury was going to win the fight, whether it was by a decision or by a stoppage, a late stoppage. I just didn't see Wilder being able to beat.
How do you, this is something I had to wrap my head around in real time. And when I thought about it, I could only come up with one logical explanation. How do you, Aaron, we from the same cloth and actually the same boxing tree. A lot of people don't know that. But and so we have a lot of the same thinking when it comes to this thing about yes. So how do you equate for a guy who made all those excuses, who wouldn't take it on the chin, who showed zero character in that loss, and then gets in there and fights like a man possessed, like a man with all the character in the world? And that's a peculiar thing for me to wrap my head around. And I tell you, the only thing I could come up with logically, the only thing made sense was Deontay Wilder believed all that shit. He wasn't bullshitting. He really thought his water was this and the gloves was fucked with and this and it, because
he truly believed it had to be something else. I can't lose. So I got you.
So even with like you were saying, he truly believed it. You know, I made a comment on your page, Coach, where I was just like, this is actually the idea of this fight, even though it's a good trilogy, is basically like Foreman and Ali. Foreman gets a chance at the rematch. What happens different? People forget if Foreman lost to Ali, he goes and fights five people in one night. That people forget, like, how that spiraled into a whole mental thing for George. And even then, he went on a great rampage to try to get the rematch back, but then he goes down to Puerto Rico and loses to Jimmy Young. So he doesn't get a chance at the rematch, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so, but even then, after Ali fight, man, I was in Africa, man, I couldn't, you know, he went on and said, okay, this happened to me. Now, granted, the cut over his eye messed up everything, because, you know, the medical wasn't, you know, as good as it was and all of that. But, you know, he made, like you said, he made so many excuses after losing Ali, where eventually one day he was just kind of like, all right, man, dang, he fixed it with the right hand.
He got man enough to own it. I think Wilder did show us one thing. Look, he's a fighter, 100%. And you know, the dude was undefeated world champion for 42 fights. And he wasn't that guy for no reason, you know. But so like you said, look, he had something, you know. He definitely put it all out there. In other words, you know, he went out on his shield like you said he wanted to the first time. You and all of us here know, as boxing guys, you know, I didn't have a problem with what Breland did, because he was the only boxing guy in the corner, and his fighter was done, and he tried to save him. That's it. And so, and listen, and he's been in there, and he made the right call as a trainer. We know his trade. Listen, that's part of our job is that, listen, a fighter by his nature is never going to stop a real fighter. So that's when you have to know your guy good enough to say, hey, no, he's good. And we know in that fight, he was just at that point, he was being, you know, Breland did the right thing. But you know, I think one of the things that Wilder was definitely determined in this one to say, hey, no matter how it goes, I'm going out the way that I said I was, you know, was going, which he did. But, and that being said, I was disappointed with him after all that, and such a great, that's one of the better heavyweight fights in the last 40, 50 years. Between elite level guys, and after showing everybody, hey, listen, I told you I'll go out on my shield. And, you know, when Fury went over to Edwin and offered his hand, say, hey, man, listen, you know, hey, you know, great fight, job, right, whatever right, right. he told him. Yeah, you know, and the fact that he didn't, you know, I thought he did a discredit to himself after doing such a, after elevating himself so much and acting like the world champion that he was for so long. I thought then he knocked a lot of that off just by the way he decided to act. Because look, we all know here, a champion, not just what you do inside the sport. It's the way you carry yourself in general all the way through that makes you're supposed to be elevated over everything. And so I thought that whenever he did that.
Heavyweight champion at that.
Yeah, I thought that he knocked off a lot of his what he did in the ring,
hey,
by the way he decided to handle it afterwards.
Aaron, doesn't that lend credence to him believing the book? He believed all those things, because even at the end, him saying, after displaying that kind of courage in the ring, right? Because let's just be fucking honest. Outside of the knockdown round where he hurt Fury, and if Fury
lost the whole fight.
Yeah,
he lost the whole fight.
He was dominated
except for that fourth round.
He was dominated, and I don't know about you guys, and we'll get into that, but that was a flat ass Fury performance. There wasn't no great Fury performance. He had he wasn't putting that touch out there to keep him away from him or nothing. And so it was kind of flat, and he still dominated the fight. So when he wouldn't dap him up or whatever,
performance was worse.
Then both of them
was worse than Fury and Klitschko.
Then both of the other
Fury, that was worse than Fury's performance against Klitschko. That was
terrible. So it just lent itself to my mind. It lent itself to this kid really thought all that shit. Now I'm sure it didn't help all the flunkies around him. That's another reinforcing that bullshit. He was convinced of it, and I tell you, it's almost like, if you're a good guy, right, you can be a, you can believe in fucking the tooth fairy. I don't give a shit. If you're a good guy, so what? That's my good guy, the tooth fairy believer, right? So you can be a conspiracy guy. So the fuck what? If you're a good guy, you're a good guy. So to look at Wilder's like, damn, it's almost insane that this kid would think all this shit, being involved in the sport. But I'm left to believe he thinks it. And not dapping Fury up was, nah, motherfucker, you cheat him. Yeah, you beat me, but you was a cheating motherfucker. You a sorry motherfucker. Now, I don't agree. You know, I think that was shitty. But
he think we still in the 60s and 40s with no safeguards in place is what he thinks.
Man, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy.
And that being said, you know, look, I told guys after that second one, I've probably worked at that arena, or you know, the one where the second fight happened, the MGM, you know, Grand Garden Arena, a good 30-40 times over the last 25 years or so. And then a lot of them in higher end fights like that. I know how long that ring walk is from the dressing room as a matter of fact, I had made that with Miguel the fight before that when he fought Ortiz. That ring walk is not that long. But also, too, we know especially in a championship fight in Vegas, you're going to have at least two inspectors. You're going to have a member of the other team. You can't start rapping without a member of the other team there. You're going to have your cameras there. You're going to have – so a lot of that shit was
For some reason, you speaking facts, and I don't understand.
Because it's one thing. Listen, I know the guys on the internet, they do their this and that, but when you say, listen, I've been in that situation. I know exactly what happens in that venue with that commission when that happens. So you say that it's all, a lot of these things that you hear these guys talking about on the internet, you say, son, I've gone through that process many, many times. There's no way that's happening the way that you guys are saying it's happened, because it just, you know, there's no way.
It's not, man, I've been in, y'all know, you, Aaron, know my dad. Derek, you know my dad. I have been back there with all, like y'all saying. I was like, are y'all really stupid? Because knowing what I know, I'm like, I may be young, but I've been, my dad and them, George and them carried me around.
Let's just say for conversation's point that there was an egg weight or something in there. Clearly. Then your guy still dropped the ball, because when Regis fought Ted, they say, hey, Aaron, go watch the kid get wrapped because they're going to come watch us. Or I have Bobby go watch Yuka wrap Santa Cruz up whenever they sent Yuka came and watched me watch rap Miguel. And same venue, same dressing room. If your guy still dropped the ball, let's just say that somebody did put something in there, that's why your guy's there to catch it. So it still reflects on your guy, even if that was the case, which we know is not. And then the fact of taking a guy that's an OG like Breland, that was a real fighter, probably one of the best amateurs we ever had. He's a world champ. He's a real guy. And respected across the board by all the OG. You know, he's just a respected guy in boxing. To think that he's going to say he's been with you for 38, 40 fights. He put something in your water, you know, or and then he got paid to throw the all these things are just crazy, man.
It's why, you know, Harry, yeah, it's yeah, why yeah, I won't.
Yeah, I'm going to purposely mess up the money I'm already getting paid.
I refuse.
That's it.
I refuse to argue with the uninitiated because of this. This boxing community, this thing is still, we understand this thing is a business, right? And it's about, we don't want to get in our kids.
Hey, fellas, I got to make a run, man. I appreciate y'all, though.
Handle your business, bro.
Take care, man.
All right.
So, it's a business. So, you don't want to run off supporters, right? And no matter the nonsense they talking, so you plead the fifth. You just say, okay. But I remember when we fought on the Lomachenko Teofimo undercard, right?
Yeah. And you and I were both there.
We was both there. So and this fight for us is $12,000-$15,000. This wasn't no fucking $1 million fight, right? And you couldn't pull that shit. So I even went live and filmed it, and the representative from the other team looks at me peculiar. The thing, what you doing, coach? I said, I'm showing these fucking idiots how it's just
same commission, same hotel, same everything.
And I said, it's damn near impossible because you're here, he's here, the commission's here, and then the dude doing the raps got to be a dirty motherfucker, right? So I'm going, it's nonsense. Now, multiply that time a $30 million fight, right? Everybody's there. It's so much going on.
And remember, that was before, because when you and I were at Lopez and Lomachenko, was during COVID, and it was a smaller amount of people in the dressing rooms. Yeah. But when Fury and Wilder fought the second time, that was pre-COVID. So they probably had 30, 40 people in that dressing room at that time. Easy.
Buku.
Yeah, because he's the main event. You know, they got that huge dressing room, and there was no restrictions, anything back there. So I guarantee there was people filming and videoing and all, more people than you can count back there.
So when I say that, and your response to me is, yeah, sure, coach, and you start naming nines, I said, there's no sense in me trying to explain to this, you know, water's wet. I'm not going to explain that to you. I'm not going to sit here and say, bro, jump. It's raining outside. If you go out there, bring your umbrella, and you go out there in your fucking swim trunks talking about you ain't going to get wet. That shit makes no fucking sense, bro. Yeah. So even more reason, I was like, when Fury hits this kid in a trilogy, when Fury punches fucking Wilder in the mouth, all that shit's going to go out the window. And he's going to say to himself, uh-oh, none of that shit was true. This is why I was getting my ass whooped. But he didn't do that. That's a peculiar fucking thing, man. He got hit in the mouth and kept fighting. So at the end, I'm going, he fucking really believed that shit. Yeah. He really believed that shit. And now.
Either that, he talked himself into it where he finally believed it, you know? You might not believe it at first, but after so many times, maybe he did, you know?
But I can credit Wilder for the guts he displayed last night and the courage it took, first of all, to take that beating in that second. Well, he took a boxing lesson in the first one. He took a beating in the second one, and he was taking a beating last night.
Yeah.
And he never was not trying to land that fucking right hand. He was never not trying to win that.
And that's why I'm saying, you know, he did such a huge credit to himself and then kind of just knocked it all off. That was the weird thing about it, is that, you know, and I was at the first fight. You know, I worked on the first fight as a staple. And I think that all the boxing guys and the fighters there thought that Fury won. Most of the fans thought Wilder won just because of the two knockdowns. And, you know, but I mean, he still probably won 9 out of the 12 rounds that night, you know, but I understand why they, you know, business wise, why they gave it the draw, because, you know, with the second knockdown cost him. But yeah. I think all the boxing guys there thought, man, so really when you look at it, I mean, of all the rounds that they fought, you know, Wilder's probably won 4 out of the 33 round or whatever, you know, whatever it is. He may have won. He won one round last night, big, which was the fourth round. And then he won maybe three rounds in that first fight. He didn't win a second of the second fight. Right. I mean, the second fight, he just got dominated from gate to gate. You know, that's it. So I mean, when you add up all their rounds together, he's maybe won four rounds out of the entire time. And so for him to really put it all out there last night, I thought if he would have just kept that same class when it was over with, that he would have, he already elevated himself because of the performance he had, because he really came out there and left it out there and went out on his shield, you know, but, you know, I just thought he could have, I think he could have erased a lot of everything with himself. The reason why a lot of people don't like him, things like that, if he would have just said, hey, man, all right, tonight we did it 100% square. I had the new chain. I got in shape. I was strong. I was this, that. I went out the way I wanted to. And hey, tonight you're just a better man, and just leave it at that. You know, and I think that he would have went through the roof with that, you know, and because it was such a great fight. You know what I mean? That, like I said, to me, that was one of the better heavyweight fights in the last 40, 50 years, you know, because of the level that it was at. Is not just because, not, you know, listen, it was sloppy at times, this and that, but I guess because of the level of where it was at, for two guys to put it out there like that, and with all the knockdowns, like that, just made it like an instant type of classic, you know, and especially with all the backstory and the drama behind it. But yeah, I just thought he could have handled it different. But I mean, I felt the same way with all the excuse shit at the second one too. All I felt like he should have really said after the second fight is, hey man, you got me tonight. Let's run it back. Watch what happens next time. That, to me, I would have just said, hey, let's do that. And
well, even if you tell yourself those things, right? Even if you know, in the gym, away from the media, away from fans, away from everything, it's me and it's you, right? And I've guided you to this point as a trainer. I can say to my fighter, listen, son, all that sounds good, right? But what can you have done better in that fight? And then when he tells me, I say, and that's why we lost. So we got to do it
better. That might have been what really happened too. You know what I mean? I think because, you know, Mark being a real, you know, being a fighter and the real boxing guy that he is, and, you know, coming out of the time that he came out of around real guys, I think that had more of to do with it than anything, you know? I think he wasn't playing in it all that and said, hey, listen, man, you know, you lost, kid. Like, what same thing we would tell one of our guys, listen, son, we lost. We got to figure out what to do different and get back on it. We're not going to make all them fucking excuses and blah this and that. And, you know, and maybe that's not what he wanted to hear. And look, he's the one writing the checks. He's got the right to do that. But, you know, when a guy, like you said, been with you your entire career, you know, and you guys have had that many, you know, championship fights and made all this money to get, you know, but, you know, hey, that didn't work for him. And look, everybody's wired up different, you know, mentally. You know, he can be the kind of guy, like you said, that needs, he may need that, you know, somebody, you know, whatever he was getting from these guys. You and I know both as trainers, you know, the guys have trained more than one fighter and they're at a certain level of this shit, that no matter who the trainer, you can't, you know, when we were listening, me and you talked about this before, but you know, these guys are watching these videos when they, oh man, he's got him doing this and that. And we said, look, that shit's fine and dandy. Yeah. But I can probably work with you on the mitts a couple of weeks and then we can make a video and they'll say, man, Aaron looks like he's ready to fight. You know, but doing it in the ring with a real guy at the level, and especially a guy that just, you know,
kicked the
shit out of your last couple of fights, that's a whole different story, man. And so, but you and I know too. Listen, you can send a guy to Robert Garcia, Freddie, Verge, Nacho, and all these guys put together and in one camp, and those guys will tell you themselves, we're not going to make some huge change, especially in a veteran fighter. You got to remember, this is not a kid 20 years old that's got 10 fights that's still in the development stage. This is a guy that's been a world champion, 42-1 with like 41 knockouts or whatever, something crazy. He's been running the wheel the same way, and the shit's been working. So you're not going to make any huge changes in that guy in one camp, no matter, I don't give a shit who you are. You know, and so you and I knew that there's some changes that can be made. The main thing that needed to be done with him was done where mentally, if he feels good, that's what counted. Because yes. he had to go into this fight because of the way the last one went. He had to go in it feeling good, like everybody was fine. And if that's what he needed, that's good. And it showed that he, you know, he had a good performance with it, you know, for himself. And but you and I knew, like all these things, it didn't matter if it was Malik Scott or my grandson Anthony training him, bro. He wasn't going to make no huge changes in this guy in one camp because it doesn't work like that.
And
you know, anybody that, you know, that's why you always hear these people on the internet, these, you know, fans or, you know, whatever you want to call them, you know, guys get a new trainer and then all they think it's going to make all these $1 million changes in them in one fight. And you and I know in the reality of it, you're lucky if you can, that first camp, you're just getting to know a kid. He's getting to know you. You're trying to, you know, your system's different, way you talk, the way you present, everything is different. And you may get some very small adjustments out of them in that first one, but it takes about a good three camps, about a year's time to really get some solid changes made in a guy. And when you get a guy that's a veteran guy like Wilder, that's been around for 40 plus fights as a world champion, it's even harder. It's even harder to get changes out of him.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to convince this guy that he's not going to knock somebody out. Right, we got to prepare as if we not. And to be honest with you, you get in a Wilder camp, and it's your first camp with him. Okay, about the best I can do is get him in condition.
Yeah,
and then try to find a safer way for him to land the right hand, like he's been doing. I'm not gonna try to get away from the right hand.
You can't dispute that the shit works because it's worked like 41, 42 times. And listen. Not only that, we know this is guys in the business too. Let's not, there's a business aspect to shit. If somebody comes to you and I tomorrow and says, hey, Derek, Aaron, we want you to train this kid. The cut up on it's going to be good. He's going to make $30 million. You know, you guys are going to walk with six figures a piece.
Right.
Get this kid ready. We ain't going to fucking say no.
Team so, Deontay.
You know, listen, when Malik got that job, he said, shit, I'm going to get, there's no way in the world, that he was turning down that job no matter what anyway, because, right. You know, he's looking at making more, he's going to make more for what he did in this camp.
He did
and last all night years, than his entire boxing career.
Yeah. Ever boxing. So now I don't know Malik, you know him. I don't know
him. Not personally. I've encountered him a couple of times, but I don't know him. We don't know each other like that. I've seen him, you know, here and there when we've been plays, but I don't know him in that way.
No. All right. I got a bone to pick, bro. Two things. Two questions. Two-parter. And my opinion about Malik Scott is how dare it not be just for hamming up the camera and interviews. How dare it not be when you was telling these people, I ain't going to stop this fight no matter what. How dare that really be what you're going to do, right?
Yeah.
You really letting this man get changed in here. And the second part of that is, would you have stopped that fight? And at what point would you have stopped it?
Well, I think, and listen, that's why we know he's not a, this is the first guy he's really trained. I know he's been around the camp, blah, this and whatever they say. But, you know, as far as, you know, putting on that trainer hat from a
steering
fighter.
Steering the ship.
Totally different things. And it takes time to develop as a trainer, just like it does as a fighter. You know, so, you know, for him to say that, I mean, I don't think that was true. But, you know, if it was, that just shows his lack of experience, because you and I know, and I've only stopped a handful of, in the 20-something years I've been doing this, I've only stopped a handful of fights. So is Bobby, but we will do it if we think it's necessary. If we think a kid's in real trouble. And that's why you got to build up the relationship with the kid in the gym and really know your kid too. You say, nah, he's okay, he's good. Or where you say, hey, the kid's in trouble. And you come back and say, hey, son, listen, if you don't start doing something, I'm going to pull the plug on this shit. I'm not going to let you get tore up in here like that. You know, because you got to let a guy fight because he's a fighter. But we know there's a fine line. So if he really meant that, saying that, it's just because of his lack of experience with the trainer's hat on and not as a fighter. You know, he's still thinking as a fighter more than he's thinking as.
And guess what? Guess what?
A trainer.
I'm glad you said that, bro, because now you gave me an excuse to not hold him as accountable as I am, because, yeah, not only are you not a trainer, or you know, with any length of time training or head training, you also was put on the biggest.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He went right. He went right to the top of the food chain in his first training assignment and had more media interviews than most of us have in the first 10 years. So he's gonna stick his foot in his mouth at least a couple of times. And look, and like you said too, he's got some shit he's gotta say too, because that was part of his role there in that position. Or they could have got a lot of different guys if they wanted to, you know?
The cheerleading part. Okay.
Of course.
Now,
the second part of the question, I don't think the first fight I thought was right to be stopped when it was stopped. I thought Mark did a good job because he was just not in that fight, man, almost from the gate. Fury took it to his ass. He had no answers, and he just consistently was getting knocked down and beat up. And he just, even when he was throwing the right hand in that second fight, it just didn't, I mean, it wasn't happening. In this one, since he had dropped him twice and he was still fight, you know, he was in the fight, and he's got that equalizer. He's got that kind of, and we know he carries it to the 12th round, because at the first fight, that's when he put him down the second time. So right. It's not like he's one of these guys where you say, well, he can punch early, and then by the second half of the fight, he ain't got shit. That guy carries power in both his hands all the way through the fight. So I think that he was right to let it go last night, because he was in the fight, and even though after that fourth round, Fury was winning the fights, you know, the rounds pretty handily, but it wasn't like he was getting dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped, you know. So
danger.
I thought it was a fair call for him to let the fight, you know, go on, you know. And listen, okay, he would have stopped that fucking fight, bro. He wouldn't have got paid shit.
Yeah. You're right.
His check would have been zero.
here's another problem with having a fighter with no fundamentals, because he's stumbling around like a newborn calf. Yeah. But he's always stumbling around like a newborn calf.
His feet have always been terrible. Everything's all, you know.
So where's the line?
The ability and the power is always carried.
So where's the line that you say, is he so hurt that I need to stop the fight? Or is this just what you get with this motherfucker anyway? And we late in the fight now.
Yep.
So you would have let it go.
I think, and you know, listen, it's always different being there.
Because we don't know. We don't know what he looks like.
Because
the
fights I start, I want to see my guy. I want to talk to him in the corner. I want to see what his leg looks like. You can tell when you're up close and personal a lot of things that we can't get off of TV. He definitely wasn't, unless he landed that shot, he wasn't going to win the fight. Because, you know, after that fourth round, then Fury just smoked him out the rest of the time. And I guess when he got dropped in the 10th, but then even at the end of that round, he came back a little bit. So, yeah, I think it was a fair call to let it roll, you know?
About the ninth, I guess, and I'm freestyling because I guess it went by so fast. But I know about the ninth, my mind was going to this kid's, the chances of him getting seriously hurt is so fucking close. You know, Fury, like I said, if Fury wasn't flat like he was, in my opinion, Fury would have bombed him out of there, I think, with the muscling and pushing and shit, and landed that cleaner shot a lot sooner. But about the knife, I'm like, you know, you're holding on to a Hail Mary that when Fury touches him, he falls over, you know, falls off of balance and shit. So it's all subjective. I can't sit here and say, because we're not there. We're not looking at him in the eyeballs. We're not getting the call.
Yeah, you're right. You could have went. It wouldn't have been wrong probably to stop. But I will say this too, just for the whole of boxing in general, it was better that it happened the way it did, because if they would have stopped the fight, then we would have went through, I mean, you know.
Nailing the coffin. They nailed
the limb down. Business-wise, just in general, for sure. But here you had a clear ending that nobody can dispute. And it made it a great fight, and it didn't kill a good fight.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, Evan?
Hey, man, I'm
getting ready to have to bow out too, man. So I'm glad the big dog came in at the end, man. Hey, but I'm glad the big dog came in because I'm getting ready to have to get out of here, guys.
You know, so. I know computer savvy guy, man.
For you split you know? Right quick.
Yeah,
I'll let you sell me that about Malik Scott, but I'm not giving that other piece of shit a pass. I'm not giving him a pass. You've been there from the beginning since he was a fucking amateur, man. And you sitting there watching that kid get his brains beat in constantly. So if we can say, you know, this is Malik's foray into being a trainer, right? And it's on the biggest stage right now. And so maybe that was inexperience saying, I'll never stop this fight. He's going to die or whatever the fuck. Okay, that's just dumb. But okay, cool. You did that. That other guy, he's been there, Aaron. He's been there, bro. He didn't want Mark to save him. He wasn't doing shit last night to save him, man. And I just feel like the courage it took Wilder to perform what he did last night and this losing effort was so fucking courageous, bro. Right? That damn dude. Do you love this guy or what? Do you even love the motherfucker? That's what bothered me, man. That's what bothered me about the shit, man. But yeah, they had to go, man. We're waiting on your coach.
I've been driving, man. I just slept from sitting down with one of my guys, met some young killers, man. They're Bortonego from South Texas.
Okay.
Young amateur.
All right, man. So your guy, he pitched the bitch last night, man. And I really think it just comes down to the boxing aspect, right? He don't have the tools. If the eraser don't land, right?
Well,
go ahead. Tell me.
We already know Wilder is.
Evan, did you see him? Did you see him setting his hand again? You seen him setting his hand again all night, setting that right hand right
here.
Yeah. I'm like, damn, y'all didn't even fix that shit. But go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I usually stay away from all the. All the technical things dealing with boxing, I you know all the technique and all the IQ, whatever it has to do with throwing punches, I try to stay away from that. But last night, I saw a courageous Deontay Wilder. I also think that you know when I look at fights, I look at how a fighter's breathing, and I thought he got the nerves.
That's what you do.
He was tired around 3 and 4, and when you get tired like that, you know you got a chance of the game plan going out the window. Another thing is, and I said this from the beginning, I said, you could teach a guy like Deontay Wilder all kinds of stuff. Yes, you can get Deontay Wilder bigger and all kinds of stuff like that, but I don't believe that's the case with Deontay Wilder. You know, as a boxing coach. Whatever he has. We perfect that, right?
Yes.
So what you have with Deontay Wilder, you have a fucking athlete. You have he's not even conventional. He's unorthodox. He can go in there and he can do whatever he want to do. So guess what you do with a guy like that? You don't go in, my opinion. You don't go in. We cannot make him a boxer against a superior boxer like Tyson Fury. Hands fucking down. Fucking Fury is a boxer. So go. What we do? We get a guy like Wilder in the best fucking condition in his life and turn that motherfucker loose. Turn him loose.
I told. Hey,
if you're gonna move to the side and throw a punch like you did against what's his name? You do it. Let that motherfucker loose. Get him out the front of the ring because you don't know how to do that. Let him loose, but get him in shape enough to do it for 40 minutes in my head.
We was waiting on you, coach. And I told Aaron, and me and Aaron both agree. We said, if they hired us into the Wildest, we was in that position, right? Neither one of us would try to make him a fucking boxer. But what I would do was, okay, this right hand is gonna put this motherfucker to sleep. So we gotta give him a better way to deliver the right hand. That's what we gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the hole that fucking hand out there to give him some position so he can land it at the end or touch, whatever the case may be, you would figure it out in the gym. But we're not gonna sit here and run 6-punch combinations and think he's gonna fuck any damn
no.
Any damn sure ain't gonna come in the same fucking weight that he was when he got his brains beat out. Because what that tells me, Evans, is this. You're the conditioning guy, I'm the technical guy, right?
Uh-huh. I already know what you're gonna say.
That let me know that they had no understanding that inside game for that Wilder was getting beat up. They didn't understand it's about leverage, not strength. It's about technique. You done making him bench press and get all that muscle. You just fucked him for the second half of that fight. Yep. I told Tyler. Tyler was sitting there with me. He said, "Dad," mm-hmm. he said, "Deontay looks big, huh?" I said, "Man, that boy been bench pressing and everything." I said, "Here's the problem. From the sixth round on, he ain't gonna have no juice. That's gonna be the problem." Absolutely. And that big gypsy is still 7 foot and 300 pounds, and he's still gonna lay on him, and he still ain't gonna be able to do shit about it. So it let me know technically, they don't even know how to win the inside fight. Man, Deontay Wilder, 6 foot seven, man. Why the fuck is he worried about trying to outstrength this dude? It's leverage, man. You got to learn to teach him how to use his waist on the inside and drop his fucking knees in the inside of the fight, man. Get back outside so you can land that right hand, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Fury did in so many ways. That's why he was 277.
Yes.
Because he knew that I'm a better lay on this dude. So guess what? If I know you're going to lay on me, motherfucker, Wilder, you're not going to get laid on because your ass going to be moving like an athlete. And we're going to do all kinds of stuff to get your legs up under you to make you move so you don't fatigue. And we could do what we need to do with that big ass right hand.
That would have been my job. Wilder's peak performance weights is like 215, 220.
That's, 214. I said 214.
Yeah. That's his. Give me a 215 Wilder. And now I'm going to let him go with you during the daytime like I do with you. You going to bring me back them lungs like I need them lungs. And we going to come up with a masterful plan to do what he does. Get that right hand in there. Mm-hmm. So now that's me criticizing the corner. But my beef with the corner ain't even the technical shit. My beef with the corner was being yes men with the bullshit. But clearly Deontay believed all that shit, otherwise he wouldn't have fought his heart out last night. But those other guys supposed to know better than that, and y'all supposed to prepare him condition wise to get in this fight. But as a trainer, coach, I'm gonna be honest with you, and you know me, coach, you know me, we know each other. Am I gonna let my kid get beat on like that, man?
No,
that shit was bad, bro. That's the second time in a row, man, that this kid was leaking out his ear. His eyes is puffed. His jaw swollen. And Deontay Wilder never for a second stopped trying to win. That's amazing. That's amazing that kid. Most people who tell you what they're going to do or tell you what they're about, that's just protection talk, right? That's just what they see themselves doing. But they're not going to do that shit because we would know it already. We would know you that type of guy. So most guys say, I'd rather die trying to fight. That's just fucking talking until you get hurt. Deontay Wilder never fucking stopped, dude. He never stopped trying to hit him, bro. He's wobbling, can't hold his hands back. And if he felt like Fury was close enough for him to punch, he threw that motherfucker, whether it hit him, whether it hit air, whether he missed by a mile. Hey. I can't give Deontay Wilder more credit for what the courage he displayed last night. And I really hate to see a guy with that kind of courage and that kind
of
tenacity get changed, bro. Get beat on like that. When the likelihood, listen, we know he's a one punch guy and he always gets outboxed. But as the fight kept going, and especially when that battery started dying, his likelihood of landing that shot is slim and none, bro. It's slim and none. So I guess, like Aaron said, if Malik did stop it, he wouldn't get paid. But what's the JD's excuse for? Where's his excuse? You've been there since the beginning, bro. You can watch this kid get his brains beat in like that and not get involved? That's your job.
You're talking about this, not the strength coach.
No, the head coach, the white guy who was in there when Fury was getting his hand wrapped.
I didn't even know he was there last night.
Oh yeah, he watched Fury get his hands wrapped again. They sent him in there again. I said, JD, and that's my beef with him. You know better than the bullshit with the egg weights and all that shit, motherfucker. You was in there with the trainers and the commission and shit. You was in there, bro. You know better, and you ain't gonna tell this young kid. Not on camera. He's going with that. He's going with that. They cheated shit. You his trainer. You shut the fuck up. Let him do that. But at the gym, son, we got to get ready because this dude was coming and he ain't have shit in them gloves. I was sitting right there when they taped them up. So let's get ready.
That means they're not going to say nothing. They want that.
Nothing.
They want to do whatever Deontay Roberts says.
Yes, he's the coach of his own destiny, bro. Deontay Wilder runs that show.
That's not good. That's not
good. No, because you got to have experienced people doing this shit. And I understand. I understand. For 40 fights, he pulled the shit off 40 fucking times. So by that time, half the world believes it don't matter if he's losing, he's going to land the shit. Just like he landed the shit last night. He hurt Fury in that fourth round. Mm-hmm. He had Fury fucked off, man. Mm-hmm. This is disgusting, bro. But all right, now tell me what you did, brother, with his conditioning. What did you see with his conditioning? How should it have been different with hindsight?
When you get a guy that size, there's not a whole lot of stuff that I would have added on physically with Wilder. What I would have done, honestly, I would got his muscle endurance a lot better. That when I say muscle endurance. As you know, as a boxing coach, when you punch, when you connect, that muscle has to recover. It's just like sprinting. When I sprint and I jump, I can only do so much until my body, my arms, my legs had lacked the acid in them. And I had to, by that time, either the workout was over or it was in the middle of the workout. And when I look at fighters like Deontay Wilder, all that muscle, he's in my opinion, he has an unbalanced body because his upper body is way bigger than his lower half. If anything, mm-hmm. I would have worked more on the lower half. I would have worked on his cardiovascular system. I wouldn't have put no weights on him at all.
Right.
He wouldn't have been lifting. Now, he heavyweight. So let's say I work with Molina. I have Molina lifting, right? But I have Molina lifting a functional lifting. If we're doing bench press, it ain't no regular bench press. I got them dumbbells in his motherfucking hand, and I got him doing double, single arm, left, right on the bench. So we get the movement with the arm. We get the muscle, and I'm not even talking about when you bench press, the weight, the hand is like this, right? It's mm-hmm. open like this. So what I would do, I turn around to make a fist. Mm. So when we bench press, when you come up with the dumbbell in his hand, he turning that wrist like this. You turn it back down like this, and when you throw a punch, you extend it and you turn it out. When
I just like press, the muscle mechanics of the punch.
Yes.
I got you.
Yes.
I got you.
That's what I do. And I don't do that with no heavy weight. I do that for time. Every time I get a fight, even when I say, Q, how many rounds are we going? We're going 8 rounds. So that's what? 3, 6, that's almost 25 minutes, right? So we gotta mm-hmm. I gotta stretch you out for 25 minutes.
Right.
Okay. And when I say stress an athlete, a boxer out, is when you get in trouble like Deontay Wilder did last night, you have to create a moment, a time within the training to where that athlete is physically exhausted and they can still function.
Yes. Yes. So
I lie
Fury. Like Fury did. Mm-hmm. Fury got hurt and stayed calm and said, let me see where this motherfucker's at. Right.
Yes. Yes. So, dude, I'll have some stuff like this. I'm gonna use even Q. I had Q in the water, right? I said, all right, give me 6 laps, right? So when he's done with 6 laps, I said, give me 6 more. And then I said, give me 10.
Mm.
That motherfucker look at me. I was like, let's go. So guess what? He has to adapt on the fly. He may come back. I may say, give me 20. God, but the mind. At that moment, you got to do the work.
So you attack that 20. Whatever you got. Yeah.
So it's at the worst time. After 12, 2 sets of 6, with 30 seconds rest in between each set, he's tired. I know he's right. tired. But right. that mind, when I hit him with that 10, your mind fucked up. The body fucked up. So, but you go. So it's same in my mind, bro. When I think of a fighter being hit, you got to figure out a way to weather the storm. If right. you have not tapped into your nervous system like that, physically, it's not going to happen.
Well, what sucks for Deontay Wilder is if he doesn't have a trainer, a conditioning mm-hmm. trainer doing that, mm-hmm. it's almost the likelihood of him doing it with his technical boxing is like slim and none, right? Because he has no fundamentals. So it ain't like when your fundamentals is trash, when you get hurt, you're not going to all of a sudden get fundamentally sound, right? You're not going to all of a sudden keep your hands mm-hmm. up and your chin down and be safe. So he's really got to rely on his conditioning to do that. When I get wobbled, my condition yeah. is there to where whatever I got to do, hug him, run, whatever the case may be, I got it in me to do. Because he's not going to never have the technical boxing aspect of it. But it would have helped him a lot had he had that conditioning part rather than mm-hmm. 25 pounds extra of muscle he's toting around that fucking ring on them on them skinny legs. And yes, it's like my pa used to tell me, yeah, son, you got skinny legs. Are they strong? Don't matter if they're skinny or they strong. Can they carry mm-hmm, you mm-hmm, and whatever mm-hmm, you're doing mm-hmm. for the time mm-hmm. you got to do it? If they can do that, it don't matter what they look like, right? You got to be, right, you right. got to, you got to maximize. But what you're saying is, just like I do in the gymnasium in the technical part, mm-hmm. increase that red line. The longer I can yeah. increase the red line, the more in shape I know I am. So when I know if another thing that I don't know if his trainers understand, you get Deontay Wilder ready for a 12-round fight. He gets clipped. He gets clipped in the third. And when he got up, he was hurt bad, right? Mm-hmm. You no longer have the 12 rounds. So that trainer's got to know that. He's got to know from working with him, he's got to know, okay, we don't have 12. He's got 11 rounds in him, like he had last night. He's got 11 rounds yeah. in him. So we got to get this done in 11 rounds, right? And then he gets hurt again. Boom, now we got less. So you can make an informed decision to stop this fucking fight and save him because you know he don't have enough in him now because you got him hurt. It's a fight. It's a heavyweight fight. People get hurt. Once you see he doesn't have it in him, all right, what's the likelihood we catch him? We ain't caught him yet. What's the likelihood? We caught him that one time, he recovered and beat the shit out of us ever since. What's the likelihood we catch him? That's my thing, coach. Like, I as a trainer, my heart went out last night to Deontay Wilder because I'm like, you showing the whole fucking world you won't never quit. You would never quit. Mm-hmm. Son, that's my job. Come on back to the corner, man. Let's go home. Let's go home and figure something else out, man, because, you know, the wife, the kids, everybody's at the crib, man. This is bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But they didn't. He went on like they fucking shield, like they like to say, but like I like to say, no man ever won a fight going out on his shield. You got to make the other motherfucker go out on his shield. So that right. shit don't impress me, bro. That shit don't impress me. That's a man getting changed in there. So, in hindsight, I would have liked to seen them protect him. I would have liked right. to seen not put on that muscle, weightlifting muscle.
Right. Right.
And I think what you would have liked to seen in hindsight would have been a lot more effective than even what I would have came up with. Because if we got the juice to keep going, maybe we don't get clipped.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't get clipped.
Yeah.
Maybe we're
yeah.
not there to get yeah. clipped.
Yeah.
Right? I don't right. know.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely. No, that's true. That's true. I would have, honestly, I would have had Deontay Wilder in cardiovascular shape because I already know he got strength. How strong am I going to get him? I'm not worried about that. I want to know that he can recover if he gets hit.
Yeah. Yeah, because the rest of his technical.
Yeah.
The rest of his technical. He needs to understand the leverage in the inside is why he's getting beat. It ain't got shit to do with it. Tyson Fury wasn't bench pressing you. He wasn't bear hugging you when he got on you. It was leverage. He was sitting down on you, so you got to know sitting to get him. Down. You know to roll him off you. You know to grab him under his fucking elbows, lift that arm up, and spin him out the fucking way. You know to do that if you're being taught that.
Or stay away.
Or don't and then away. Don't never get in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, have enough gas in your tank to stay away. If I got a fighter and they fighting 36 minutes, in my mind, it's 45-minute fight.
Right,
it's a 45-minute fight. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to push the envelope. I'm going to put, like you said, that red line, I'm going to keep upping it. I keep upping it so I know that your lungs, your legs, them motherfuckers ain't going to get about cooling your legs off. And when you start panting in the corner, it's over.
I tell you what, and I'm going to tell you what. Tell me if you've seen it. I know you've seen this. Fury got winded fast too, just like he did. And his second win came in sooner. And I think Deontay's second win never really got there. He was just walking around on heels.
I'm going to tell you what Fury was, how I believe Fury was training. Fury was training at that weight.
Yeah.
He was running at that weight. He was fighting that weight. If you look at his camp, he ain't never changed his weight. He knew. He knew that he could lay on a guy like Wilder and wear him out, because guess what? Wilder was going to be from Talon. I wouldn't have Wilder right there. You'd have been running. I'd have been doing that shit he did with Stavert. That awkward, moving to the left, moving to the right, punching the motherfucker. Doing
that little step angle. Yeah.
Yeah, let him loose. Let him loose, man, for 12 fucking rounds. If he get out there, throw a wild punch at Fury, move around the ring, all that unconventional shit that he do. That's who Deontay Wilder is.
You can't time that shit. You can't time that awkward shit.
No, you can't.
That's why it gives him problems. That's why that's why it won every time. But instead, he got the gypsy over there that said, I'm going to let him pitch a bitch. Try to stay safe if I can. And every time I get close to him, just grab his fucking ass.
Yep.
And I'll wait him. I'm going to outweight his ass. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what he did. He still almost got clipped. Well, what you think, Coach? Where he goes from here? I know you're a fan, man. What you think his next move? Should he hang him up? What should he do?
I say, I don't think he should hang him up. I think Wilder really has to take a good look at this fight, because in his mind, he believed in his people so much that he thought that would help him. They had the wrong approach. It's just like when we look at Mike Tyson's career, we all know. Boxing, I've studied that shit too. Mike Tyson fought his best 215, 217, 218.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Wilder, 214, 215. Anything after that, it's a problem.
Yes.
So guess what? At that weight, that motherfucker moving around, he crazy looking, he throwing punches from everywhere. You get him in shape to do those type of things that he is comfortable doing, that makes him Deontay Wilder, the knockout artist.
And at that weight, he's been hurt before. And he still fucking knocks people out, though. He's still there to knock them out later. So, yeah, that's a very calculated mistake. And again, and everybody listening, we know this is all hindsight. You know, we got the luxury of hindsight. But that's why I got Coach Toblo on here, strength conditioning coach to the champions. I had Aaron on there, a real-life boxing coach, myself. So, you know, that's what we're doing. We're recapping and because I couldn't be more impressed with the medal he showed, man. That I didn't think he did. I didn't think he had it, Coach. See, you did. You thought he had that in him. I didn't. I said as soon as he gets hit in the mouth, that shit's going out the window, man, because all them excuses, he's going to see. But what I learned last night was all them excuses – he really thinks that, and he went in there and was willing to fucking give his life in that fucking ring, bro.
Yeah.
So
he said it.
And he did it. That's what's amazing. Yeah. He said that shit, and he meant that shit, and he went in there. And I tell you what, I hope that kid feels good today. I mean, I know he's sore and hurting and everything, but I hope he's fine. I hope he's laid up with his kids and wife over there getting some chicken soup and saying, you know what, he got me. But goddamn it, I tried to get him every second, because you can live with that. A man can live with that.
I can live, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. Hey,
you son of a bitch. Yeah. I tried to, you know, I was trying to get your ass. I didn't back down.
Yeah.
And believe me, Believe me, I read the stress he had when he came to that. He was under pressure, bro. A lesser man would have folded. A lesser man, when he got hurt in that third round, would have folded, just like I thought he would do. He proved me wrong. I got to give him credit, bro. I got to give him all the credit in the world, man.
I just want to take a good look at how he prepared. One thing he did believe, he believed that the way they prepared him would work. But that's why there's levels. There's levels to this, bro. And I keep telling dudes, they say, oh, you want to come train? No, you don't. You're not going to come train me. There's levels to this. And when you look at God and God's father, hats off to his belief and believing in his team. But when you look at that, you got to look at the success. When I went to my first track and field championships, my coach, I was getting my ass kicked, right? And I was trying to figure out what was going on. And he saw my eyes. I didn't think I belonged there. He said, come here. Bring your ass. He said, come over here. He says, how'd you get to this meet? I said, I qualify, coach. He says, then you belong there. You belong here. Get your ass out there and jump. Do what you do. Yeah, do what you do. You know, so when you look at this situation, you got to look at the success. He said, remember how you felt. Remember what happened on your best jump of your life. Remember that feeling. How much did you weigh? What did you eat? So now I'm going to look at Deontay Wilder. Where is your most success? When we come to the table to train an athlete, where did you have your most success? How much did you weigh? 214? We're working with 214. We're going to work around that because that's where you had your success. And going back to Wilder, he believed in being 25, what's that, 10, 15 pounds heavier than what that's extra weight you got to carry.
Damn near 240. He was 238, 239. Yeah, man, that was 25 pounds of muscle he was toting around that ring, man.
That's different, man. When you're an athlete like Deontay Wilder, who's elusive and just awkward, and can hit you from across the ring, you got the long-ass arms. Man, I kept telling these dudes, let him loose.
Right.
Get him out. He ain't going to be in the middle of the ring. Let him loose.
Let him throw that shitty pose.
Yeah, when they let Deontay Wilder loose, when he walk at that motherfucker, stand in the middle of the ring. When everybody walk out there, jump to the left, jump to the right, and knock his ass out. That's who he is, man.
What about Fury, coach?
Listen, Tyson Fury got up off the canvas. Tyson Fury refused. He refused to back down. Even when he got hurt twice, he kept coming. Hats off to Tyson Fury, too. I'm taking nothing from neither one of these fighters. He said he was going to do it. He went in there. He did it, too. So we had two guys in there.
Wow. Constantly telling everybody, nah, Deontay Fury, I can't let this motherfucker hit me. And I ain't going to lie. At some point, I was like, man, he's blowing smoke. He's trying to make his victory look better because, he was telling you just like he told you for the second fight. Nah, man, I can't let this dude hit me. He's going to fucking put my lights out. And it damn near happened. It damn near happened. It was a testament to his fortitude to take his time, get up and say, hey, well, get your ass off the deck, man. Let's go.
Hey, it's going to be hard to beat a Tyson Fury. The only other part of the game is your boy. Is my I like Anthony Joshua.
AJ needs some technical help, coach. He needs some technical help with his boxing. He needs a guy who can teach him how to fight tall and use his height and shit inside that amateur-ass boxing style. But I'm an AJ fan, too. I'm with you.
Well, he going to – listen, the only other boxer I think about, like I said, and he could – I see him fighting small, too, when he's 6'6", 6'7", 8". But other than that, man, Tyson Fury, his mindset and – if I'm another athlete, if I'm an athlete, I'm a heavyweight, and I'm dealing with a Tyson Fury, any of those top European fighters, if you have nothing to say, if you're going to talk positively, or don't say shit at all, because guess what? It's just not a physical warfare. It's mental warfare as well.
Tyson Fury is a master of that.
Mental warfare monster.
Fury is a monster. A master at skullduggery. He knows how to He knows how to lock into your insecurities, but more importantly, he picks up on your insecurities. Like, you can see it because the next time he speaks, he's right on that thing. He's right on that thing. So, he, you know, as unconventional as Wilder is and the success he's had as a heavyweight champion, right? This Fury, he's in his own lane too, man. He's a horse of a different color, man. And really, really, whoever beats him has got to have ability, conditioning, but also he's going to have the character that, that this guy got, man, to come back from where he came from and to, to when the chips is down. Like, he don't even fathom, which we know now, Wilder possesses that too. He just didn't have, I don't believe he has the technical boxing. And like you said, he has some conditioning issues, but we know Wilder's got that mentality too. Fuck you. I'm not going to quit. And man, when you put those guys in the mix, that's why those fights, even though, what, 36 rounds, fucking Wilder won maybe four, maybe five at the most, and it's still entertaining fights, competitive, and not competitive, but anything could happen. You still think he's liable to land this fucking punch. It's crazy, man. Yeah. It's crazy.
The question
bro.
Is this. Why? I never really see him. I never really see Deontay Wilder commit to a jab.
Never.
Like, he apart. I don't never see him throwing a jab.
Never. Well, you know, I don't get it. I got my opinion about it, but one thing, he's got to use this hand to set this hand. But the second thing is, every time he throws a punch, he's liable to get counted. So it's almost, I don't think it's a conscious thing. I think it's an unconscious thing that rather than his bad mechanics of I'm going to throw this jab and I'm going to get hit, fuck it, I'd rather take the chance and throw my, you know, try to hit you with my big one and get you out of there. So it's really a technical thing, but it's still all programmed into him. He's been getting away with it for so long. Yeah, because a 6'7 kid with arms like that, he should be jabbing everybody to pieces. You know, they shouldn't be able to hit him. Yes. So, I don't know, man. Those were some rough fights, man. I don't know if people really credit how rough they were. But if he decides to keep fighting and hell, what do you do, man? I don't know. Do you go get somebody? I don't know, man. I don't know what to do with Deontay Wilder because it's almost like you get what you get with him. So if he's your cup of tea, you ride with his ass.
He got it. And one thing that we have to do with men, that, and I could use myself, I ain't scared of shit. When I became a better man dealing even with the opposite sex, right? Guess what? If I can take a look at myself and own my own shit, I'm a better man. And I've done that in my lifetime. Even with training my prized possession, which is Regis Progray, right? I used to take Regis and wear his ass out, right? But so I had to go to the gym, see what he was doing, and I had to adjust my training.
Right.
Because one thing I don't want to do is overkill the guy.
Hinder
him. At one point I was fucking him up. When I started going to the gym and seeing the work that they're doing, I had to modify. So guess what? I had to humble myself. I did that.
Right.
I said, okay, do what you could add on to this. So I won't be a hindrance, I'll be an add-on.
Right.
And that's what I think Wilder needs to look at himself and say, have I really let go of controlling the way I want to be trained? Am I a student or am I the boss?
Right.
The boss has to step back and let the team do the work.
And
you know what I mean?
As simple as looking through the annals of the heavyweight history of the great ones, did they boss their squad or did they fucking listen to what their coach was telling them and follow directions? And I don't give a fuck if it was Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield, or Joe Lewis. You follow and see, and you'll see, hey, he's got his job to do. I got my job to do. Let's do our jobs and we can be successful. But yeah, man, it was a great fight, bro. I would have loved to see his corner protect him a little bit more, but that's just me. That's my style, I guess. You know, a lot of people love to see, you know, a guy get knocked out. You know, I never like to see nobody get knocked out. And it was bad to me. Like, that final knockdown, when he went down, it was bad. Yeah,
my heart dropped. I was just like, oh, my God.
And that walk back to his corner after they helped him up and shit, man, he wasn't really there, bro. He was like just stumbling around. I say, man, shit. I just felt like he didn't have to go through that part. You see what I'm saying? Like, damn, man, help him out. But it's the fight business. And that's what he ordered them to do. And I guess if you the boss, they gotta listen because they want to get paid, you know. But yeah, man. Before I let you go, man, I see our boy got him a new situation, huh? You looking forward to this or what?
And I'm looking forward to this fight. Yeah. I'm looking forward to fighting because this kid has worked his ass off. I got a lot of great character fighters, bro. My guys, they don't miss training. You know, we haven't missed that, but we train. They ain't even fighting. They're still coming to train, bro.
They're not ducking training, right?
No, they're not ducking. They're not ducking. And I'm telling you, it's going to be any of those kids I work with, it's going to be hard to beat them motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. They ain't backing down, and they're always going to be ready. Right. So, I'm glad. Because everybody running from the kid, man. Everybody running from Regis. So
that's true.
Bring it on.
That's true. Man.
Let's go.
That's what's like happening,
this whole
man.
Career since you start knocking motherfuckers out. So I'm glad.
They ignored him. They ignored him all the way till they started ducking him. You know, like, nah, let's try to avoid that shit if we can.
So we're going to go and get some other belts, man. We're going to do it.
You know, I'm behind you 1,000%, brother. I appreciate you.
Champions. All the champions coming up. We got Q. We got a whole bunch of them.
Right.
Come on, man.
Right,
all we do is win. Right. All we fucking do is win, bro. And I'm going to stick by that. I'm going to say that all the time. But I appreciate you always having me on the show, man. Good content. Absolutely. Open conversation. And I can say what I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad. Appreciate you having me on, man.
I learn all something time, every bro. Time you're on here, brother. Every time you're on here.
Me too.
All right, I'm going to see you, bro.
All right, man. Take it easy. Peace. All right.